In January, everyone seems, at least to me, determined to keep their New Year's resolutions. I was driving the other day and I was listening to the family radio, I think they call Starpoint in 91, whatever, and the radio host saying that some people already giving up their New Year's resolutions. We're about less than 10 days into New Year. Anyway, she says, she was referring to the eating healthy foods and more fruits and vegetables and whatnot. And she says, if you want to go back to eating more fruits, her suggestion was smell some more fruits. Have you ever tried it? Smell the fresh fruit and that'll, you know, trigger some desire to eat fruits. Try that one. Anyway, some examples like for a healthy new year, and some of us want to go back to the daily exercise, walking, jogging, and yoga, and Pilates, and jazzercise, and so on. And others start the new year, like you, I think, with godly resolutions, such as attending services more often this year. You know, when I was in Korea in 1970s, if I look back, there was such a thing called perfect attendance. I mean, there are 52 Sundays, right? So everybody attended 52 times. If I just look back, if we have about, big church it was, about 1,000 people, almost 800 people without skipping on one Sunday attended 52 times a year. And looking back now, living in America, last year there was a speaker in our conference and the speaker says that the average attendance in America nowadays is once a month. Let me tell you, this congregation is doing much, much better than once a month thing, right? So some of us think that, okay, I could have a perfect attendance this year. I think we have at least several candidates here. So here's the deal. If you think you can, you know, attend 52 times, 52 Sundays this year, and if you let me know, I would be glad to recognize you and giving you perfect attendance pin. No, I don't think it's really impossible thing, right? We are doing it anyway, so just let me know, because I think it's a rare thing nowadays, and I think we should recognize that. So some of us say, hey, I'm going to attend the church more often. And here's another thing. I want to pray a little more on a consistent, you know, base, daily base. And in my family, we prepared like a daily check-off prayer list. And that's my resolution this year, not skipping a day, lifting up every member of this church. Remember, we had a church directory in which I even counted. There are 301 families listed here. And my goal this year is that every single Sunday, every single day, I'm going to lift their names up in my prayers. So that's my New Year's resolution. And others, some of us think that I'm going to just finish the reading from cover to cover. Remember about a month ago, I placed a challenge before you, reading the Bible from cover to cover. And at the time, to my knowledge, there were several individuals picked up that challenge. And I hope you didn't drop that reading, right? Poor Jim McShay here, he's sitting here. He was one of them. Yes, that's a good one. See? So some of us think that I'm going to finish reading the Bible, okay, this year. You got to let me know, because I told you that I have a something book notebook I call the book club, meaning the Bible club, in which I record, you know, names of the individuals who finished reading the Bible from cover to cover. And in my previous congregation, there were about 28 people finished that challenge. I think Manhock and Kat could easily beat that, right? With two hands down. So those things, you know, we do all the resolutions. The bottom line is, I think, is this. Why do we make resolutions? Because we want to make every moment count this year, New Year, and that is to spend the time wisely, productively, and efficiently, so that at the end of the year, when we look back, I say, wow, I really had a great year. I mean, speaking for myself, you're looking at 2013, I could easily say, honestly say that I have been very productive and, I spent the time wisely. Anyway, speaking of managing of our time, that's going to be our topic. Just for some tongue-in-cheek fun, and by the way, I'm going to present the very opposite of what I really want you to remember at the end of the sermon, okay? In a tongue-in-cheek fashion. And I got this idea from Reverend Chuck Swindle and his message about, time management about 3 years ago. So this morning what I'm going to do is that present to you a series of suggestions of time wasters. I would name it Surefire Time Wasters. If you follow the following five suggestions that I'm about to make, I can guarantee that you will make no progress this year and find yourself wasting your time, big time, and every minute of it. Number one, this year, be unforgiving. Lengthen the list of your enemies this year. Have a goal to double it up. Hold your grudge against your enemies as long as you can, and do not even try to forgive those who have made it on the list this year. If necessary, never forgive them at all, saying that it is 100% their fault and not yours. Say that there is nothing you can do about it, and dump your hurts on family and friends, and harbor your anger and resentment day in, day out, and nurse your grievances against your enemies throughout the year, forgetting what it actually does to you, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The second suggestion for surefire time wasters is keep comparing. Compare yourself with others all the time. Be dazzled with your life successes while you pity those who have failed or not so good as you are. Take every opportunity to toot your own horn before others, and if you are an underachiever in life, please be sure to throw a pity party, use the back doors all the time, and dwelling on negative thoughts about yourself all the time. As a matter of fact, it'll do the trick for you for many years to come. And if you're really into physical beauty stuff and envy the youth, and count the wrinkles on your face and hands every day. But be sure to have the Valium ready. Number three, doubt. Make doubt your number one priority and the dearest ally this year. Put the doubting Thomas to shame. Doubt everything. Always doubt that God loves you, and doubt more that he is with you, and doubt that he is going to see you through this year. Question God's credentials and question more his faithfulness, and never trust that he takes care of your daily needs. Doubt most that God is a personal God who understands your daily challenges and provides the way out from your struggles. The first suggestion for time wasters is grumble. Complain all the time that everything goes wrong against your plans, and grumble that God's provision is never enough for you and your family, and always ask for more, even beyond what you need, and demand that you want them right now. Be an Ebenezer Scrooge this year. Never share God's blessing with others, and be a mean person, and be the champion of the game. Take everything for granted. Never miss the opportunity to let everyone else know your absolute entitlement. Never take time to count the blessings from God. And never share the credit with anyone else, let alone with God. Rather, take all the credit to yourself for your prosperity. And never thank those to whom you owe your success. Finally, worry. Worry a lot. Day and night. Make a goal to be on the Guinness World Record as the number one worrier. Worries are contagious, therefore, so spread your worries to anyone and everyone. This year is going to be a disastrous year for all of us and for the global economy. And keep on worrying about what to wear and what to eat every day, and lose your sleep by worrying that tomorrow is going to be the end of the world. Spend every day twice longer than usual looking at the numbers of Wall Street and have your mood swing with those fluctuating numbers and economy. There you have it. Five proven and surefire time wasters. Put them into practice and the year 2014 would be the year of wasting your time. But folks, on the other hand, who really wants to do that? No one, right? So let's get a little more serious here. My real message this morning is, beware of those time wasters. So here's what I really want to say, and I want you to remember. Number one, this year, let us forgive. As if you have only one day to live. Forgive your enemies, bless and pray for every single one of them, and do not prolong your forgiveness. And remember what Jesus says, and we always say at the end of the prayer, Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? That as is a conditional clause. Unless you forgive their sins, your sins will not be forgiven. That's what Jesus said. Therefore, let us forgive this year. Number two, stop comparing yourself with others. Rather, be thankful and content with the way God has created you. Remember, your body is God's temple where the Spirit of God dwells. The scripture says you are no longer your own. You are bought by a price. That is Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And therefore, the scripture says you are God's and you are not the owner of your life. Rather, you are the steward of God's property. Therefore, take good care of your body, yourself, and your soul, and glorify God with your life. Number three, have faith in God. Trust in God. He is with you all the time and He will see you through no matter what happens to Wall Street. And trust God rather than the numbers in your checkbook and He will provide your daily needs. Number four, stop grumbling. That goes along with this year's theme, year of gratitude. Be thankful for what you have and content with what God has provided you and share your blessings with others more often and give more. Number five, pray more and worry less. We all know that. The Bible says that too. We cannot change a thing by worrying. Therefore, prayer is the option. It works. So this is my prayer for all of us this morning, that may the 2014 be the most productive year of all. And by the way, God doesn't want us to waste our time. It is His will for us to make most of it. Let's bow our heads and pray.